Test, test, test. Can you hear me? If you can't, got good seats up front. Good seats up front. Thank you, Dorian, for reading the scripture, and thank you, Wayne, for leading the singing. Obviously, I'm not Slate Moore. I'm Hurt McKee, but I'm here, ready to go. And so our little lesson today is doing little things with big love. And there's two different ways that I want to look at this. There's some little projects that my wife and I, my Valentine, Darlene, and I have been working on. But also some things that just, they really cost you absolutely nothing. And so ways that we can do little things with big love. See if this works. Ho! And so we're going to look at some scriptures, and I might need your help. Make sure I'm reading them right here. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they, what, may see what? Well, your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So who sees our good works? Do them before men. The question, well, does God see us? Does God see us? Well, I even look, and I didn't write it all down in 2 Chronicles 16:9, but for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. If nobody else sees you, God sees you and the things that you do. You can't hide from God. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. So this idea of doing some working out there, where did it come from? It came from God. That we should walk in them. And I just put a note up here. We are defining ourselves every day. We decide what manner of people that we are. And question then, is God the only one that sees us? Does Warner Haven see us? Do young people see us? Do the older people see us? And so every day that the Lord gives us life, we define who we are and what we are. And in Titus 2:14, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Now, you're not going to find that blue like that in your Bible, I don't think. I did that. Zealous, happy, anxious, looking for good works. And now look at that peculiar. Now, anybody ever told you you act peculiar? I've been told I act peculiar. I'm okay with that, okay? Matter of fact, anymore, I take it as a compliment. I'm doing something right if I'm peculiar. Why in the world would someone want to help people you don't know in Honduras or the Ukraine or Mount Dora? Or the Philippines. That's not what we do as people. This is my money. And I'll work hard for my money. And I'm going to use my money. Peculiar people to the world are doing things that others don't do. And that's what much of the lesson is today. Is to tell people you hardly know or don't know that you love them. And that you care about them. And that they're right here. In Galatians 6:10, so then as we have opportunity, well, let us do good to who? Just to everyone. To everyone. And especially those who are in the household of faith. So question here. Are our brothers and sisters in Honduras, the Ukraine, the Philippines, and Mount Dora, are they part of the household of faith? Yes, they are. So should we be doing good for them? That's the same reading, I just put something else down in the bottom. Are our widows, widowers, seniors, middle age, 20s and 30s, and young people, are they part of the household of faith? Is everybody that steps out of this, are they our brother or sister? As a matter of fact, even if they've not been baptized yet and they're like these young children, I kind of consider them part of my church, don't you? That we raise children up in the nature and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's tough being parents out there. So many times parents are just looking for some good role models to say, children, be like that, or that one, or that one, or that one. I don't know. I'm starting this off just so that we have a clear understanding of where I'm coming from in this thing when I'm talking about doing service unto others. In this congregation, I'm not an elder. In this congregation, I'm not a deacon. In this congregation, I'm not least a pulpit minister. I think we're all ministers. My parents and Darlene's parents have passed away. So there's no, we don't have widows that somebody could help take care of because they passed away. I don't have any children here today. I don't have my grandkids. They're up in Gainesville. They're not out here today. I'm not going to Honduras, so I'm not trying to raise money for me to go to Honduras. I didn't write that one up, forgot about it. Here's what I do have. I have a lot of love. That's what I do have. A lot of things I don't have, one of the things I do have is love. Because the more you give love, you probably, it's like the moon. Slate was talking about me running. I ran this morning. You talk about a beautiful moon. God's glory reflecting off that moon. We need to be God's glory with it reflecting off of us to those people that are our brothers and sisters. And so here's where I'm coming from and what I really want to be. I want to be with you in heaven. And that's how long? How long is heaven? It's the rest of it, okay? That's the rest of it. And you say, well, quite frankly, I don't know much about you. I'm not even sure I like you or whatever. I'm cool with that. I want to be with you in heaven for eternity. So some of the things, I'm married good, okay? Now, the truth of it is, and I've told you all the story at Haines City High School, they had all the girls get together, and they're doing the short straw thing. And the short straw had to marry me. And Darlene drew the short straw. Cried and begged and pleaded, you know, can we do two out of three? But, you know, she lost, okay? Now, she's a wonderful wife, and man. So we kind of put our heads together. You know, one of the things I found out is that anybody can come up with all kind of ideas and I can just shoot all kind of holes in it or I can get behind it. I can also come up with my own ideas. God didn't say, well, Bert, you know, why don't you just, for the rest of your life, just be a little sheep in the pasture? Why don't you go out and do some things? Why don't you step out? So Darlene and I are going to do it. And what we're going to do is little things with big love. My heart right now, and I've done real CPR on real people, my heart really is not that big as far as physical. But if that heart stops, I stop, okay? And this heart represents life. And so when we're trying to help others, we take little things and we put a big heart behind it. And so, yeah, we're going to be asking y'all for some help too. We're going to be asking you, well, can you help us on this or can you help us on that? And if you say, well, Bert, I can think of things 10 times better than you, then I'll be glad to help you. Do that also. So let's look at some things here. February. Right now, in this month right here, we're looking for 25 sponsors for 20 crummy dollars. Easy, right? Our young people have already made 25 cards. Who made those cards? Our young people made those cards. Darlene's got the cards, okay? Now remember, Darlene's the boss around here, okay? Don't nobody forget it, okay? Darlene's the boss. The young people will deliver your card. And they're going to tell the person you love, the person you pick out, that he or she is loved. I'm going to pick on somebody because we just kind of did a little experiment. Michelle, did you like that card this morning? You love cards? And that was Addison that gave you a card this morning. Are you going to throw that card away? Okay, refrigerator art, okay? Refrigerator art, okay? So if we do cards, if you say one of these cards, there's only 25 of them, that's all there's going to be is 25 of them. Who's the winners? Well, the young people, because they were engaged in a project. Those receiving the cards, now keep in mind, this is 25, and there's more people than 25 here. The mission work, the funding that goes into that, there's going to be some kids that get to eat. The kids are going to get to eat. And then you know what? You're going to feel a lot better. Before God, who's watching you, you're going to feel a lot better that you did something good for somebody else. Now, I hadn't even thought about this. Don't send a card to yourself, okay? You know, send. I probably should have put that. Don't send a card to yourself, okay? Send a card to somebody else, okay? That's just six of them out of 25. Isn't that pretty? Aren't these kids talented? Those things right there just absolutely. I can't believe how good they are. Look at the detail on these things right here. And 25 people, 25 cards out there can make somebody's day out there by getting one of those. Now, let's digress. You don't have to be a part of that program. You don't have to give $20. You don't have to give one of those 25 cards. You just go get a card or make a card. And give a card to someone who attends here. And then think about how God calls for us to be specific. Think about who you want to start giving some cards to. And sometimes it's that person who's not always the most boisterous. Sometimes it's that person that's dealing with a whole lot of issues in life. And here's a card. If you have a need of a prayer, do you want a general prayer? You want to pray for everybody. If you're going into surgery, if you're trying to get another job, if you're trying to make a change in your life, specific. Do you want the church family to take your name to God and pray for you? And then here's something I've learned, I've got smarter on. Sometimes the cards and letters we get are virtually eternal. I have visited enough nursing homes out there that cards and things that people are given are there when they pass away. There's cards and things that you give people, and when you do visitation, you look up and you see those cards. And some have been there a long, long, long time, but they're very important to the people who receive them. And sometimes just picking that back up again and saying, this little child who could have been doing anything in the whole world made me a card or gave me this card. March. Venables, let me tell you about this deal right here, okay? Darlene and I are one and done on yard sales, okay? Well, I think we got that one, okay? One and done, okay? Had a lot of work goes though, right? We still can get our car in the garage, and there's still, but it's piling up, okay? Now, and I put this thing up here that I'm not necessarily looking for clothes and heavy stuff and things like that as much as smaller items that move fast. I want you to understand where I'm coming from, these clothes, okay? There'll probably be some things on hangers we're going to get a few dollars on. But if I have some people come here that need clothes, but they have no clothes and they have no money, they're leaving them clothes. Are you following me on that? If they have no money and they have no clothes, they come here trying to get some clothes, they're going to leave with some clothes, okay? And we'll figure, you know, we'll figure that out fine, okay? So kind of consider selling some of the better things that you have online. You know how it is. You go buy a $50 dress at Macy's with a tag on it, bring it in here, and they'll offer you a dollar for it, okay? So, as a matter of fact, Darlene and I have already raised over $300. Instead of bringing it here on that particular Saturday, we've already sold them, already got the money collected. So we're already $300. And then I put up here, plus an extra dollar because of my dog, Butterbean, okay? Well, I picked up a few things yesterday at the place, and I thought, you know, that'd be a kind of a cute toy, you know, probably get a dollar for it or whatever. And my dog, Butterbean, cost me a dollar. Because she thought that was for her. It's already chewed the eyeball off and all like that, you know. It don't take Butterbean long with a toy, okay? That's where the eye used to be right there, okay? So, that's $301 or whatever it is. I'm just saying, is it Butterbean's earned that? I wouldn't try to sell that or even give it away to anybody. Okay, who wins? Who wins? Well, those who, if you have something that you want to help with, those who help, okay? You say, well, I got a couple hours to come down here and help the keys and all like that. The community. The community sometimes can see something and get something they need at a greatly reduced price. The mission work. The hungry children. The kids that need clothes. The kids, people that need houses built. How about the church? Does that make us look good when we're doing things out there? And they come by and they say, well, what kind of fundraiser y'all got here today? We're going to help some kids over in Honduras. It's not about us. Could be anywhere, could be doing anything, but here we are. Julius is your favorite. It's your favorite back there. You contribute the money you would have spent. Now, this is in April. No eating out. To keep things simple, you say, well, you know, is it going to be $39.21 plus a 10, 15% tip and all that? You just don't eat and you give $20. Isn't that simple? You don't give in. You say, well, I was going to eat three times in April. $60, okay? Just hand it to me, okay? And I'll take your $60, okay? You didn't eat out. Okay, who are the winners? You. As you spend more time with family at your own table, right? Instead of a restaurant, all the noise and all like that, you just eat at the house. Once again, the mission work. And I put up here, the work at Malawi is a great example. And this was several years ago that I think it was Randy Judd that contacted us and said, look, there's a famine in Malawi and they're starving to death. They're starving to death. They're dying. And this congregation right there for a month didn't eat out. We put the money in. And the word come back from Malawi that the Winter Haven Church of Christ had given more than any congregation. We did that together. And all we did was instead of us eating out, we fed people that were hungry. And I got a question. Have you ever seen the truly hungry? Have you seen face to face the look of hungry? When I was in Southeast Asia, they said, don't talk to the kids. I carried a roll of nickels with me everywhere I went. And when them little kids come up to me rubbing their little belly, tell me they're hungry, I gave them a nickel. In Ho Chi Minh City, For a nickel, American nickel, you can get a bowl of soup. Now, I noticed in most of them, something was looking back at you as you were looking at it, all right? But them kids got a meal that day, and they got to eat. Kathy is a real person who's my cousin from Appalachia. She died from malnutrition. Going back to when I was a kid growing up, it wasn't uncommon for children to die from hunger. Seen it? Been there. Face to face. Can this congregation, when we know of a work that's out there to feed children, can we say no? Can we say no? May. Oh, this is one of my favorites out here, okay? The Bake Auction and Talent Show. We want to especially engage our young people in this event. They need to feel they're part of an effort to serve others. I want young people helping me on this, okay? Winner. Everyone, man, you come there, everyone's going to win. But especially those who leave with a tasty dessert. Now, this is kind of like a challenge I put up here. You say, well, I'm not coming to this. I'm not going to buy this. I'm not going to do that. At least here's what I'm going to do. If I'm by myself at the bake sale and talent show, I'm going to go get a cherry pie, and then I'm going to auction it to myself. All right, Bert, how much are you going to pay for the cherry pie right here? Well, I'll pay $20. Would you pay $25? I'd pay $25. In other words, I'm going to auction it to myself. And then as I eat it, I'll sing, right? Cherry pie, cherry pie. I love cherry. In other words, I'll do it by myself, and we're going to get some money on that. I hope you'll come and be a part of that church function. And we didn't stop. Taking a couple months off there because summer's a bit slow. But in August, we'll do something for the Philippines, September, middle, and senior high, cookout, widows, and senior members recognition, November, the Ukraine, December, Mount Dora, December to remember. And I'll be working on some of this with our deacon of missions, Ricky Respicchio. So Philippine assistance, a wonderful goal would be for every small group, a wonderful goal. Come up with $100 the second week of August. There's tremendous opportunity for growth in the Philippines. We had a wonderful class here a few days ago that Bob had taught. And you're talking about sometimes in these other countries, you just don't know where you stand. The governments change. And so you were for this leader, and all of a sudden you find out that leader is gone or been killed or whatever, and you've been supporting this one over here, and it's you're nervous. You don't know when the troops are coming, and they're unsettled. And what they really need is God for whatever happens to them. They need God for whatever politics does. And I'd like for us to help the Philippines. Middle age and high school, eat your hearts out. If you're not in the middle age or high school, eat your hearts out. We're bringing them over to our house, designed to thank them for all they've done, what they're doing, and what they'll do in the future. Get a load of this. This is not hot dogs, especially more chicken dogs, okay? Chicken dogs that look white, what kind of hot dog is that? They get to choose the steak they want. And we're going to cook it for them. Just let them goof off. Just have them have some fun time at the house. Young people, are you ready for this? Maybe it's just because I come from a family of 10. Young people special to me. I hope they're special to you. Are they perfect? Were you perfect? Were your parents perfect? See, it's a lineage, okay? It's a lineage. Pretty predictable, okay? Widows and seniors, be honored at a gala. Now, what that does, it's a fancy word, okay? I have to look up some things in the dictionary, gala, okay? What that means is they're going to get to dress up party, okay? Outstanding chance, there'll be some super fantastic entertainment. But even that, Wouldn't it be great if each one of us as a family visited every widow this year? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? And in Ukraine, similar to the Philippines, each small group for that month would be asked to donate $100. That's $100 a small group. Collection would be in the second week of November. Ukraine's another area in which we can be of great assistance. And this is similar to kind of work that Paul and others champion out there, to go and help needier congregations and all in other places. How about Mount Dora? Winter Haven Central has a long history of providing assistance to the children at Mount Dora. Let's plan on, and this is something I just come up with. I see these car deals, a December to remember, okay? I guess you got to buy a Lexus, but you don't have to buy a Lexus for this, okay? Wouldn't it be great if Mount Dora said that Winter Haven Central gave us a December we'll never forget, a December to remember, to help those children up there? A lot of strikes against them, but with the opportunity to reverse some of those and say one thing about it, Winter Haven Central loves us. And then why don't we just make a personal goals on what we're going to do? I put some things up here for me and Darlene. I'm asking for some help on it. But I know I'm not the smartest one here. I'm not the fastest. I'm not the whatever out there, okay? Just think of some ways that you can do. You don't have to publicize it, or you can say we got great ideas and take it to the elders or the respective deacon that may be working in that area. And a lot of times people say things to me, well, are we going to get all the money for this and we're going to get all the money for that? Elijah and the widow, 1 Kings 17 and 12, and there's a famine going on, and Elijah's come up and said, I need you to make me some food. And the widow said, we don't have any food. All we've got is just a little bit of flour or meal or whatever she had and a little oil to cook it with. And she said to him, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a container, and I'm gathering sticks. She's going to make a fire that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it, and then we're going to die because there's nothing else to eat. We're going to eat it. I don't have nothing to give you. We're down to where we're going to die after we eat this. The calorie's not coming. We're going to die after we eat this. Elijah said, make the food. And so in 15 and 16, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her son did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the container of oil, because according to the word of God said, if you'll do this, I will feed you. She put her faith where? With the last thing she had. And God didn't let the meal go away. And God didn't let the oil go away. They kept eating because they gave. And of course, we hear this one many times about the widow in Mark chapter 12. And a poor widow came out and put in 2 copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to them and said to them, truly I say unto you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty and has put in everything she had. What? All she had to live on. She put her faith where? In God. She put her faith in God. Everything that she had to live on. 2 Corinthians 9. The point is whoever sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians is basically the next verse. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves what kind of giver? Okay, who's to give? Are you a member? If you step out of that baptism, you say, look, Bert, so you going to pick fruit? Have I got an income coming in? Yes. Am I expected to give? Yes. Is there a responsibility for every Christian to give? Absolutely. Funding is stated earlier, not everything involves money. Some of the greatest gift to people cost you nothing. If you tell somebody you love them, how much did that cost you? But what does it mean? Priceless? I got some challenges out here. Now, typically, I let my sister know that when I'm doing the lesson, and a lot of times she'll come. I'm going to brag on my sister, and please don't tell her that I mention her in this class. Please. You can call me and tell me anything. I'm probably cool with it, okay? But sometimes my family members, Bert, I didn't want you mentioning that. My sister's been a widow for 2.5 years. She has given something like about $1,800 to Honduras, and she's not a member of this congregation. My daughter's not a member of this congregation, but she's given some $700 or $800 to Honduras. Now, when I go and I think about individually where we get into Revelation chapter 20, each one of us are going to have our time before God individually. Every knee shall bow. And we're going to be looked at what we did do and what we didn't do. But I also think about at the beginning of Revelation where we talked about the church in Philippi. When I talk about the church in Ephesus. When I talk about the church in Laodicea. And so I have a sister and a daughter who that when God leaves, let me read here, let me check on the church here in Winter Haven. They gave and are not members. I'm asking you as a member to help. To help. To our youth. I'm kind of pulling y'all out here for this minute. I want you to love and appreciate your mothers. Obviously, your fathers too. But I was in Tampa one time. I'm speeding up. If I'll go over 2 or 3 minutes, y'all going to be mad at me? Okay. I was visiting. A lot of jobs I have, and even now, you try to get along with regulators real good. And so I was over in Tampa with the Captain Turner with the DOT, Department of Transportation. And it's the first time I ever met him. But I walked in and there was a big picture of Bear Bryant. And I said, maybe I can get him liking us and thinking, you know, we're doing a good job. And so we talked a little bit about it. So I said, do you like Bear Bryant and all like that? He said, yeah. He said, I was a good friend of Bear Bryant's. I went to many of their games. As a matter of fact, I went to the locker rooms. And then I've already won this battle because he's ready to tell me about the time that he was there with Bear and Alabama was losing to Vanderbilt. Now, in the real world, the Alabamas, the Floridas don't lose to Vanderbilt, but they're losing to Vanderbilt. And it's halftime, and Bear Bryant tells everybody, y'all go down the locker room, I'll be there in a minute. They're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And all of a sudden, this chair comes from one side of the locker room and slams into the wall over there. That gets your attention, okay? And he come in there and he said, look, I'm the coach and I get paid to be here. If you want to go out there and half-heartedly play a game and make me look like a fool and all like that, you do what you got to do. But what really upsets me is what you're doing to your mamas out there. You are embarrassing your mamas. And they're going to go back and in shame go before their families how, you know, you didn't lose this game. And so to avoid any more problem about mamas, I'm just going to go out there and forfeit the game. I'm just going to go tell the referee that we're not going to come out and that Vanderbilt loses because I just can't do this anymore. And, of course, the team started crying. Oh, coach, if you'll just let us have one more time, let us. Okay, I'm serious. You going to give your best? Yes, sir. And they went out there and just killed them the second half, okay? Barry didn't want their mamas to look bad. Young people, here's what I want you to do. I'm asking you to do this, begging you to do this. Your mama, do mamas all want you to be at the top and have the best job in the world? Do y'all want your kids to be success? I can't hear you.
Yes.
But in the greatest degree of success is that your child is faithful, that your child loves you. So whether you've got the best job in the world, sometimes, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to tell your mama you love you. I love you, mama, like that. And here's the other thing. I want you to go to your mama and say, we know that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, all these challenges are going to come up. But mama, we got this. We got this. 5 years from now, 10 years, you forever, you're going to be my mama. I'm not going to embarrass you. We got this. I want you to do that. Asking you to do it. So in our Christian service, when we get married, are we finished or are we just started? When we become a Christian, are we finished or are we just started? When you get your first job, you say, okay, I can go home now. It just started. Whenever you get baptized into Christ, it's not the start of anything, of the finish, it's the start. So here's what I want to do. We're pretty close to the right time. I want each one of us to make this commitment. I want us to make a commitment. I will be the person that I need to be. I will encourage others. Now, I'll stop there for just a minute, okay? How easy it is to point out the faults of other people and what all they're doing wrong and how they need to straighten themselves up, how they need to fly right, and they need to do better. What I'm asking you to do is go out and encourage them and help them to be better. And here's one that once again makes us peculiar people. I didn't say I'll be friends with other people. I didn't put up here that I will tolerate other people. I didn't say up there I'm going to fake it and act like I'm getting along with other people. I will serve other people. Did Jesus serve people who hated him? Even up until he died on the cross, he was still a servant on this earth born of woman. I will serve other people. And so as we come to the conclusion of the lesson today, I mean, most of this was kind of meant towards people who are members here. But let me tell you this right here for somebody that got baptized in 1967. God's been good to me. God has been there for me. God, if you decide to put on Christ, will be there for you. And if today's the day, it's like, you know what? I kind of need to re-energize myself here. I need to get fired up, motivated. I kind of need a do-over. I want to come up here, and I want these people here, I want them to pray for me. I want us as a family to be tied together as a body. So if you're subject to the invitation, Wayne has selected a song, and at this time we'll offer the invitation.